Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and welcome back here. We're going to meet some young people here doing some interesting things in our community. On the way to the conversation, I want to remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org is MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. The intersection, young people are doing some interesting things as usual. Again, let me just throw out this disclaimer. I am on their board, though as the executive director who's sitting here, Z Cohen, will testify, I have not been a very active member of the board, but that's okay. So we have in the studio along with him, Ifitayo Ketwala, who is a student from the intersection, and Tyrone Holmes, also with the intersection. They're having an event tonight with Waverly Carter, Director of Youth Programs for Banner Neighborhoods, talking about where power begins. It starts tonight at 5 to 6:30 at the intersection offices itself at 2900 East Fayette Street here in Baltimore. But so who wants to begin and tell us what this is all about?
I can start. Hi, Mark. Nice to see you again.
Always good to see you.
So this past year, the intersection student leaders, as well as our adult supervisors, because we need those apparently.
Sometimes.
So for the past year, we worked on the Children Youth Investment Act. And for those who don't know, it is a bill that was introduced by Council President Jack Young that would allow 3% of the city's annual budget to go directly to young people. So it would be ages newborn to 24. It would be about $11 to $31 million. So we helped it pass through the city council. The mayor vetoed it, but it was overridden. So now it will be a referendum on the November 8th ballot. So this past summer is when the intersection was really hands-on in our community. We are in the 13th district, and every day starting on June 30th, we went out canvassing. We had 15 students, four different teams. We went to many different streets around our neighborhood, knocking on doors, gaining support for the bill, as well as registering voters if they weren't registered. So tonight, our Power Where It Belongs event at 2900 East Fayette Street, as you said, will be like the revealing of the data. People who said yes, people who said no, why they said no, why don't they think it will work, but also the community's chance to share their opinion on what they think the money should go to. So there'll be breakout groups led by our student leaders for them to kind of get a feel on what the community wants the money to go to, and that information will be shared with President Jack Young.
Want to add to that, Dwayne? Tyrone? You want to add to that?
I just think that it was extremely important for us to pass the Children and Youth Investment because post-April, like with all the riots that happened and all the youth that we saw out on the streets, you could see that there's a disconnect from youth in their own city. And the strangest thing about it is that these are youth who grew up in Baltimore, who probably never even left the borders of Baltimore City, but still feel disconnected and like they don't belong in their own city, their own home. And That's the best thing about the Children and Youth Investment is that the money will go directly towards youth.
So tell me, so this becomes a deep part of the intersection, and in terms of kind of pushing these political and social issues.
Yeah, I mean, so our whole thing with the intersection is about young people being able to access their city and their city government and their community in a different way. Right. When I was a teacher in West Baltimore, the idea of what it means to be a citizen in a city, in a country, really wasn't taught. What we've tried to instill and what you hear with our young people that are here today is a sense that we have ownership over the communities that we represent. And not that you have to wait till you're 18 and you can vote, but that you can take ownership in your community today. And we see the Children and Youth Investment Act as almost the perfect intersection between what we do as a group, which is about organizing and investing in young people, and public policy, right? So the idea that we're in a city that has consistently disinvested in its young people, that has chosen to invest in public safety over youth time and time again, and that here is a rare opportunity in Baltimore, which was facilitated by a crisis, to shift that balance of power and invest money, dollars, and cents into our young people.
And I hear that. I think it's really important stuff that you've been doing in the beginning with registering people to vote that happened a few years back in another election. But I'm curious what you think. So I think it's important that this issue of this 3% was pushed and just not thrown off the board. And clearly the public had an effect because the mayor did not veto it, and then they're going to put something like this in the budget. But what do you think this will really do? I mean, what do you think about, what effect do you think this was really going to have in the long run when we're talking about a police budget that is well over $500 million in our city, and the city puts no money, relatively speaking, in public education, no money in Department of Recs, relatively speaking, absolutely no money in the health department. All this money comes from grants from the federal government and other places. So we talk about where our, and then you have this Port Covington thing looming in our city, which could redefine how the city looks mm-hmm. for your generation, because you guys are both teenagers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Right? So, and by the time that gets done, I mean, you'll be talking about what Mark Steiner said then, but I won't be around to talk about it. But you guys will be here. So, and then you have, so this 40 years of developing a place that'll be mostly white and upper class. Not completely, but mostly white and upper class. So how do you feel about all that and where you think this is going?
Well, Mark, I think it's funny because the city and a lot of the older generations, a lot of the older generations.
One day you will be the older generation, which is good.
They have a lot of expectations about not only young people, but young people of color, with education, with jobs, with every kind of sector you can really think of, but then they don't give us the skills to meet those expectations. And I think that is the whole point of the bill. I think this bill would allow young people to not only have a chance to, meet the expectations that, are given, but exceed them and actually have a place to thrive in not a standardized society or a standardized curriculum like you see in education. So for me, growing up, I didn't have a chance to share my voice or understand the power of my voice until I got into the intersection when I was ending eighth grade. But before then, I was silenced. I was bullied. I went to a rec center, but we didn't do anything. I did my homework, and I kind of just, maybe read a book, maybe, kind of sat there, just playing with my thumbs. And for me, that was supposed to be a place that I could thrive and learn new skills when I did it in a standardized curriculum, because I did terrible on tests. I had to work hard at every single subject. And I think that this bill would allow young people to see, okay, I actually do matter in this
society. So how would it do that?
I think that you start with education. I think that you invest in early childhood education. And teach them the realistic skills that, they would need growing up. Give them better books, better desk, better facilities to use, better sports programs, art programs, ways to kind of find their niche early. Invest in, teaching agencies that put qualified teachers in the classroom that, actually care about their students, actually care about staying longer than 2 years and then leaving, kind of investing in community schools that, work with the residents around them, invite them in, have events, have cookouts, kind of break barriers that have been there for so long.
How would you add to that, Tyrone?
I think the most important thing is that we need to realize that youth need opportunity. And I know that there's some people who feel like they're giving youth chances and youth haven't taken advantage of them, but that, I don't think that means that we should give up on them. And I think that with the Children and Youth Investment Act, it's so important that the money will be going towards after-school programs, education, rec centers, and youth. It would just go towards youth. And with the after-school programs and the rec centers, I think that's so important because for me growing up, that's what played a huge role in my life, being able to attend after-school programs, being able to go to rec centers, whether if it was just for me to go after school to get some homework done instead of going home, or just for a place for me after school to just be somewhere with my friends rather than being outside just wandering the streets after school. And with the Children and Youth Investment Act, it wouldn't just be a school year thing. It would be a year-long thing, as far as the rec centers. And that's why it's not just about the after-school programs. It would give youth a space, year-round. And I think I think the money needs, like if Fiteo has said, needs to go into the education system. I don't feel as though enough money is put into it. I know that that youth, not a lot of youth feel like their voice matters, so we won't hear them speaking up about it. So we have to be their voice and give them the opportunity and the chance to do better for themselves.
Folks, do join us at 410-319-8888. We talk with young people from the intersection tonight, along with Waverly Carter, Director of Youth Programs for Banner Neighborhoods. We'll be speaking where power, where it belongs, tonight at 5 to 6:30 at the intersection offices, 2900 East Fayette Street. There's all kinds of complexities with saying young people should take power. But, I mean, because young people should take power, but that doesn't always mean that young power is going to be necessarily different than the establishment power, sure. As we've seen in many people who have been elected to office who are young. So I mean, what is the underlying push for the kind of stuff that people do at the intersection like this?
Yeah. So, you know, a budget is a statement of values, right? And when you look at Baltimore City's budget and you see the emphasis on public safety and on policing, and the lack of emphasis on youth and our young people, it's really disturbing. We shouldn't need a set aside, right? I mean, this is in some ways, and some of the pushback I've heard about the Youth Investment Act is this is not a good way to do budgeting. Money should be open to do whatever in case there's a crisis in some department. But consistently, our city government has shown a disdain for its youth and has invested in police and incarceration and safety. And the argument that we're making, the underlying argument here, is that an investment in our youth is an investment in our entire city. Mm-hmm. That when we spend more dollars on people like Tyrone and Ifeteo, that has a ripple effect, that they bring in other young people, that it can reduce violence and crime and sort of the carceral spending that we're doing so much of right now. And I think it's so important in this moment of sort of national anxiety around Black Lives Matter and around what it means to be a citizen, you know, the sort of rhetoric that we heard about law and order, and sort of this return to, a almost police state, that young people in our community are stepping up to define their own priorities and determine their own destiny and make a statement that this is about us and it's about our peers and it's really about our city and who we are as a society. And I think that's hopefully the moment that Baltimore is in, more citizen participation, especially among these young people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to open the phone to you, but I think it's important that these kind of pushes take place and that you all are leading these pushes. But I was thinking about what Z was just saying, the stuff we've argued about in the show before. I didn't think what Jack Young did was necessarily a bad thing. I think it was a good thing to put that out there and force the issue.
Sure.
But it's a drop in the bucket in the sense that we spend most of the report came out today. And I have not had a chance to read it. I just saw the headlines of it. Yeah. But that between 1990, was it? And 2013?
13, yep.
We spent... the amount of money we spend on incarceration has skyrocketed. That is, it's huge. And the numbers of people we have incarcerated. Where we put our money into that and into policing. And whether the alternative models can take place in our city that allow things like that not to happen. So they do have rec centers that actually have people in them so you don't twiddle your thumbs and you're actually, you know, getting something out of the rec center. That there are places where young people go off the street. That there's other kind of intervention strategies in our community other than just the police arresting people,
yeah.
Right? I think I think that's the discussion you want to have that we need to have if we're going to really change where we are. What are you going to say, Tyrone? Then I'll open the phones.
I just think, like, to your point about the amount of money that we spend on incarceration, I just think it's so weird how much money goes into incarceration rather than like preventative methods, like instead of arresting like so many people, why wouldn't funding go into things that were prevented? That's just confusing for me.
Let's open the phones at 410-319-8888. Audrey, on the air. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Hello to your audience. I mean, the guest.
Hello.
I wanted to know, what they're trying to do. Have they seen examples of this strategy work? And I think that when they try to put young people out of the way where they have to be inside, you deny them their opportunity to socialize. And it's important to be able to know how to interact with a person walking the street or on the bus or in a supermarket. But it sounds like what you want to do is like kind of pigeonhole them and say, well, okay, after school, you go over here out of the way of people who would be offended by your presence.
Mm-hmm.
I think that denies them the opportunity to be able to socialize with those very same people. And I just need to know, where have they seen an example in history of what they're describing to give you an idea that this particular thing works?
Interesting question, don't you? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your comment. So Tyrone will talk about certain examples that we see in history, but I just want to comment on what you said about pigeonholing them. And I think that, like for me, the rec centers and the after school programs like worked for me. But I think that this bill would be about catering to their needs, whatever it may be. So it wouldn't just be about, you know, go inside after school, because that's basically doing the same thing, just dictating where they go and how they do it. And that's really not what we want to do. But I definitely understand like how you're like what you mean. Like my mom always says to me, you know, you might be book smart, but you need to learn how to be street smart. And I think that there is a lot to say about, you know, knowing how to speak to someone no matter where they come from, no matter what they look like. So I definitely understand where you're coming from, but it would just be about catering to their needs, not necessarily saying this is where you go, this is how you do it, and this is why you do it, and not really, you know, telling them much else.
Okay. And you had asked if there are other examples of the Children and Youth Investment Act, and through our research, we found that there was three other cities that did similar projects or had similar legislation like the Children and Youth Investment Act. We saw that in Miami, Oakland, and San Francisco, like their version of the Children and Youth Investment Act or a youth fund was actually quite successful. I know that in San Francisco, I think over a 20-year period, it's proven to be like very successful for the youth and for the entire city.
Mm-hmm. And they just renewed that legislation. They had passed it. They set it to lapse every 10 years, mm-hmm. and I think, was it 2015, they just renewed it mm-hmm. again. And again, it was 3% toward youth programming. And like Tyrone said, seems to be very successful.
So folks, do join us again. More callers at 410-319-8888. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. You can log on to our Facebook pages. Email us at talk@steinershow.org. But 410-319-8888. So what do you expect to get out of tonight's event?
Well, I think that the whole point of tonight's event is to, so I know that like while we're canvassing, a lot of people, you know, didn't have a lot of time to kind of share their opinions, and they had a lot to say. You know, I met some residents who were, you know, running out the house, going to the grocery store, but they thought that this bill would be very beneficial and, you know, wanted to tell me why but couldn't. So I think tonight is a opportunity for a lot of people who come out just to share their opinions on what they want to see the money go to, and have they like know that, you know, their information will be passed on, but also to kind of for us to meet more of the neighborhood, since we just recently moved into the neighborhood a few months ago, because we used to be on Eastern and Conkling in a different district. So now we're in a new district, and the whole point of intersection is to make relationships and connections. So it's kind of a dual purpose event.
What do you expect to get out of this thing? Where do you want the money? How do you want the money to be spent?
First, I would like to add on to
go ahead.
I think another important part for the event for us is that when we were out canvassing, most of the doors that we knocked on, the people didn't know about the Children and Youth Investment Act.
I'm sure not.
Even though it's a huge legislation that would shape the city's future, the majority of the people who doors we knocked on, they didn't know about it. So I think that's another important part about the event, is just getting people from the community together in one space and just giving them more detailed information about their city and about the Children and Youth Investment Act. And for me, I would like for the money to be spent on after school programs, rec center, and the education system. And I would also like for the money to be spent on more youth violence prevention programs rather than like the incarceration portion of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we've been talking a lot about here on the show and we'll be pushing pretty hard is this whole question of how you have a different public safety budget. Maybe mm-hmm. money has come out of the police department and be put into other things. Mm-hmm. So you ensure public safety without having to be a carceral kind of push against citizens and young people and how you develop that. And maybe more safe streets and maybe more money for rec centers and maybe mm-hmm. getting people really involved in the community and who actually know the community to help intervene in nonviolent ways, make things change rather than the constant push that we're making right now. So so where do you take this next? Where do you go? School's about to begin. Where do you go next?
Yeah, so while in school.
Not quite. We got a month and a half, right? Month?
Yeah, about a month, about 4 or 5 weeks, yeah, but it will go by very quickly. But so, you know, once school starts, the intersection will continue to attempt to gain support on the bill. It will pass. I am very confident it will pass. And then once it is passed, there will be a steering committee that would create additional legislation, like all the bylaws and everything that would work as, I guess, boundaries for an advisory board that will be for the bill. And I think the key with the advisory board is the youth presence on the advisory board. So the intersection fighting continually for a youth presence on the advisory board that has, you know, full voting rights, et cetera. So I think that's the next step for us to, you know, make sure while still hoping to get it passed and still gaining support on it, making sure that there is a youth voice involved.
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons, Mark, why we wanted to sort of play this active role in passing the legislation was to also advocate from the inside around making sure youth are fully represented on the board, just like if Viteo said, so mm-hmm. that young people are truly determining where this money gets spent. And it's not just some politician's slush fund to go to, you know, their cousin's nonprofit or my nonprofit or whatever, but that young people are actually controlling the money.
So you think that that's actually so that is the heart of the issue, is who controls this money and where it goes?
I think it's really important. And I think, you know, what we've been doing behind the scenes is meeting with the city council president and helping to shape the legislation in a way that allows young people to be on the advisory board, to be on the steering committee, and really gives them more of a voice. And also, we've been looking at some alternative models. There's one in Boston where they have true youth participatory budgeting. What was it? Youth Lead the Change, mm-hmm. Where they literally just earmark $1 million per year for young people to determine where that money gets spent. And we think that's a really interesting model and potentially something where part of this money could go directly toward young people through a youth congress or through some sort of process determining how money gets spent.
That would be revolutionary in our
city. It would.
No, to have you all sitting with kind of helping decide where this money is spent and how it's spent, and I think not just going to nonprofits but going into worlds that you think it needs to go to.
Right. I mean, I think that, like, everyone that I've talked to, like, the first question they ask, okay, where is it coming from? Who's going to be controlling it? Because I know that in this city, a lot of, you know, elected officials have promised a lot, especially to low-income neighborhoods, and they don't see, you know, turnout. So they're right. Like, oh, okay, this is going to be the same thing. This is going to be another fund that, you know, they say it goes to my community, but then we're going to see it in Bolton Hill or see it in Fells Point. You know, they're talking about programs for Fells Point or not really, you know, Perkins Homes or Park Heights or whatever else. So I think the biggest issue that we face is allowing people to develop hope and giving people, you know, faith that there will be youth presence and that it won't be different because we won't allow it to be the same as it used to be.
Are you all sitting on the committee yet?
Have they
formed the committee yet?
No,
you're still in negotiations about this committee.
Yes, yes. Right. We're still working everything out with Council President Jack Young. Hopefully one of our intersection student leaders will be on the committee. That would be a great win. But, of course, it's just going to be a 1 to 2 youth seats. It doesn't necessarily know who's going to be yet.
Right. I mean, maybe there should be more than just 1 or 2 seats.
Hopefully. I would rather it be, you know, half, if not more than half, of young people because, you know, in a city that we've pushed them off, you know, many times, I think this would be a position that's well deserved for a lot of people, you know, whether it be, you know, young person per district or per region or however you want to divide
it up.
I think it would be very beneficial. But
to me, this is really important work that you all are doing. And it's always good to have you on the studio. This is great. I'm glad you could come in today. If
you're Tyra
Kidwala and Tyrone Holmes, both students from the intersection, you go to School for the Arts.
Yes, I am a rising senior at Baltimore School for the Arts.
Tyrone?
When the summer's over, I'm going to be going into my junior year at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore.
That's right. Yeah, all right. Cool. Very good.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you both for being here. And, of course, the Cohen Executive Director of the Intersection. Good to see you again, man.
Good to see you,
always.
Too, brother.
Thank you all for being in the studio. This is great. Really important stuff. And so join them tonight if you can. Power Belongs starts tonight at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6:30, not so late, at the Intersection offices at 2900 East Fayette Street, where Waverly Carter, Director of Youth Programs for Banner Neighborhoods, will be speaking about where power where it belongs. Good to have you all here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark.
And folks, I do want to encourage you all to, when you have a chance, to write to talk@steinershow.org, jump on our Facebook pages, the Mark Steiner Show page, to tell us what you're thinking about Port Covington, about where public safety is going, where these trials are going as we cover this stuff, and so we can get your ideas and incorporate them into our work here on the Mark Steiner Show. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producers are Mark Gunnery and Stephanie Mavronis. Our producer is Imani Spence. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our interns are Morgan Barber and Calvin Perry. Theme music by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. And the podcast, Mark Steiner Show, and share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Stay cool out there today. Take care.